Beloved Bhagwan, Mao Tzu had three outstanding disciples who enjoyed a special intimacy with him. They were Nan Chuan, Chi Tsang, and Hui Hai, otherwise known as Hayakujo. One evening, as the three disciples were attending on their master, enjoying the moon together, he asked them what they thought would be the best way of spending such a night. Chi Tsang was the first to answer. He said, "A good time to make offerings." Hui Hai said, "A good time to cultivate one's spiritual life." Nan Chuan made no answer, but shook his sleeves and went away. Mao Tzu turned to Chi Tsang and said, "The sutras will join the Tsang." He was making a pun on Chi Tsang's name, Tsang, which in Chinese means basket, as in carrying the word of Buddha. He turned toward Hui Hai and said, "Dhyana will return to the sea." Mao Tzu was making a second pun, since in Chinese, Hai means sea. Then Mao Tzu concluded, "Nan Chuan alone transcends the realm of all things, all by himself." On another occasion, a monk asked Mao Tzu, "What is the Buddha?" Mao Tzu answered, "Mind is the Buddha." The monk then asked, "What is the way?" "No mind is the way," answered Mao Tzu. The monk then asked, "Are the Buddha and the way somewhat different?" Mao Tzu replied, "The Buddha is like stretching out the hand. The way is like clenching the fist."
Manisha, before entering the sutras, something has to be said about Mao Tzu himself, because it is so strange that no other Zen master has ever behaved the way Mao Tzu behaved. But it is very symbolic. Mao Tzu is said to have been a strange-looking man. It is said that he walked like a cow and looked around like a tiger. He could touch his nose with his tongue and had two rings on the soles of his feet. Mao Tzu's way of teaching was most varied. He is said to have been instrumental in the enlightenment of 130 disciples, each of whom became the master of a particular locality. Obviously, this strange man Mao Tzu behaved according to his spontaneity, not caring about anybody in the world. That is the first thing to be understood. Only a man of tremendous courage can walk on four like a cow. A man who does not care a bit about the opinions of others. He knows the truth and that is the end. And walking like a cow is very symbolic. You cannot fall asleep standing. It is very difficult. You have to lie down horizontally. So the gravitation pull is equal all over the body. Standing or leaning or sitting, the gravitation pull is different on different parts of the body. That is a disturbance in your harmoniousness. So when you lie down, you come into a deep harmony with the gravitation field. There is a strange story in Zen circles, very ancient, that animals know our language perfectly well, but they don't speak, they don't show even a sign that they understand our language. Once a Zen master asked a monkey, only a Zen master can do such a thing, that I know perfectly well, my insight says that you understand my language, but you try to hide the fact. The monkey said, "Yes, sir." Please don't tell to anybody because I will not speak before anybody else. So keep it a secret. Every animal understands your language, but no animal wants to be enslaved by you. The moment any animal speaks, he is going to be put down to do some work. That ancient story reminded me of a child who never spoke up to he was 8 years old. Every effort was made, every test was made, his ears were perfect. There was no defect as far as physiology is concerned. Why he does not respond was a mystery. Finally, they took him to a psychiatrist, but to no avail. And one day morning, he shouted at his mummy, that, "Mummy, where is the salt?" He was taking his lunch. The mummy could not believe. And she was alone in the house. Nobody will believe her. For 8 years she has been defying. The mummy asked him, "Why you have been silent for 8 years?" He said, everything was perfect. Just today the salt is missing. There was no need to speak. Why bother? But she said, will you speak before others? He refused. He said, this is just a secret between us. Don't tell anybody, otherwise you will be found lying. I will keep my silence again. The reason why animals don't speak and why they don't grow their minds, their intelligence, why they are so contented like a cow, the reason is because they are horizontal. There is no disturbance in their physiology, in their psychology. Everything is balanced. The gravitation is not disturbed. Man is standing up on his two legs, disturbed the whole balance. And he started growing a head just because he was standing. This is a scientific fact that man's standing on two legs is the cause of his growing intelligence. Because mind in a small head is a very complicated phenomenon. 7 million small nerves make it. And those small nerves are invisible. They need a very small quantity of oxygen and blood. Just a little more quantity of blood, and it is almost like a flood. Just as in Bangladesh, 3/4 of the Bangladesh is taken over by water. Animals have not grown the brain, the mind, because the flood of the blood is equal to every part. Man is standing up, it is very difficult for his heart, for his lungs, because it is going against gravitation to send oxygen, blood to the brain. The quantity has come so small that it became the reason of growing very subtle nerves which can think, which can philosophize, which can even transcend thinking, which can make one a Buddha. Matasu's posture of walking on fours, just like a cow, the first implication is that he is now in no mind, just as all animals are, that he has joined the world and dropped his mind, that he is now in tune with the universe, not struggling against it, but just floating with it. Second implication is that just because he has dropped the mind, he has become an emptiness. It automatically grows into compassion, into love, into humbleness, into egolessness. And you cannot find another animal like cow. In its humbleness, simplicity, contentment, and still he looked around like a tiger. That is the contradiction of Zen. You should be like a cow, utterly humble, but you should be rebellious and revolutionary and radical as a tiger. So although he walked like a cow, you could see his eyes were those of a tiger. He will jump over you and finish you. Whether it is symbolic or actual is very difficult to decide. But the contemporary sources of Matazu all say that it is true. He walked like a cow and looked around like a tiger. He could touch his nose with his tongue. Very rare people can do it. Very rare people can move their ear lobes. Try to move your ear lobes. They are yours, but absolutely out of control. You have no control over them. I have come across only one man, a doctor, in my village, and he was a colleague with me in the school, in the university. He is the only man in the whole world, perhaps, who can move his ear lobes according to his will. It is a miracle to see how he manages, because it is an impossibility if the ear lobes are natural. They don't have any nervous system. So you cannot manage. You need a certain nervous system that can be managed by the mind, but there is no nervous system. It is just pure flesh. Perhaps this doctor, his name is Manohar. Has by some mistake by nature a nervous system in his ear lobes. There is no other explanation. In China, it is an ancient lore that you cannot touch your nose, but near about your death, you can touch. The reason is simple. Your teeth have fallen. It is nothing miraculous. So the nose and the tongue have come closer. In India, a similar kind of idea has been prevalent, which is more significant. Before 6 months of your death, you stop looking at the tip of your nose. Because eyes start rolling up. So you cannot see the tip. The moment you cannot see your tip, you can be certain that within 6 months you will be dead. Because eyes have started moving upwards. That's why when somebody dies, you immediately close his eyes. Because to see him, just the white of the eyes is shown, that black part has turned up. And it is very freaking point to somebody looking at you with pure white eyes. So in every culture, immediately the eyes are closed. And everybody dies with open eyes, remember. Nobody can die with closed eyes. Because closing the lips of the eyes needs a certain willpower, a certain life energy. You cannot die with a fist, because the fist needs some life energy. You can die only with open hand, because open hand is relaxed. It needs no life, no energy. The same way everybody dies with open eyes. And not to make others freak out, immediately the older people pull the eyelids down, and the old fellow who has died cannot now even open back, because for that too some energy is needed. He may want to have a look what is happening around, but he cannot open. So it is nothing special about Matazur that he touched his nose with his tongue. The special thing is that people ordinarily don't try it. Otherwise everybody can touch. Just your teeth are the barrier. So whenever by chance your teeth fall, they will fall one day, then you can try and you can find that Matazu was not doing some great miraculous thing. Just he was very old. And in India, and because of the Indian idea that on the feet of a Buddha, underneath the feet, there are two rings on both the feet. Those are the signs. When a child is born, if he has two rings on the feet, it is thought and it has been proved right that the person will become a Buddha. It is not necessary for every Buddha to have those two rings. But any child that is born with those two rings is inevitably going to become a Buddha. Everybody is not inevitable. You may become, you may not become, it is your choice. But it is not the choice of a man like Matazu. He has earned his meditation enough in the past life. He was so close to Buddhahood when he died. That it is absolutely certain he will become a Buddha. Perhaps Ono had seen those two rings on his feet when he said to Nangaku that this young man is going to become a Buddha. I am old. He is asking initiation, but you are going to be my successor. So it is better from the very beginning you take care of him. You give him initiation. And remember, be respectful to him. He is already a Buddha, just a little puss. And he will be on the other shore. Matazu's way of teaching was most varied. He is said to have been instrumental in the enlightenment of 130 disciples, each of whom became the master of a particular locality. Manisha has asked, Matazu had three outstanding disciples who enjoyed a special intimacy with him. They were Nan Chuan, Ji San, and Hui Hai, otherwise known as Hayakujo. It is almost inevitable that the way ancient masters work, there will be a certain intimacy between them and few disciples. They may have thousands of disciples, but few disciples will be intimate. Out of these intimate disciples will be chosen their successor. It is no more applicable as far as I am concerned, because nobody is going to be a successor to me. The very idea of succeeding was a borrowed idea from the royal families. Just as kings were succeeded by their elder sons, It reflected on the tradition of masters also, that somebody will become their successor. I wanted to a complete breakthrough as far as I am concerned. You are all intimate to me. I can afford the intimacy of all of you, because there is no question of any succeeding. Nobody is going to be a successor to me. I want everybody to be a master unto himself. To be a successor is a little humiliating. It is against the dignity of an enlightened man. Neither he has anybody before him who is his predecessor, nor he has anybody behind him who is his successor. He is alone, standing like an Everest. No one precedes him, no one succeeds him. His aloneness is a message to all who fall in love with him, that you also have to be alone. In your aloneness, you are beautiful, pure. It does not mean that you have to renounce the world. It simply means that you don't have to belong to the world. You can remain in the marketplace, but just be a mirror. A witness watching whatever is going on. But traditionally, they never understood that it is against the freedom of individual to be a successor. It makes a spiritual experience almost like a treasury or a kingdom. It is neither. Nobody can succeed. Everybody has to be on his own. And that independence and the taste of that independence is so valuable. That I want to bring a new kind of master and a new kind of disciple in the world. They are intimate in their love, in their trust, but they are not bound in any way by any thread, visible or invisible. The master is himself, the disciple is also himself. And the function of the master is to prove to the disciple that to be oneself is the greatest glory in the world. The most splendorous thing. But Matazu is old, part of the old world. He had these three disciples as intimate disciples. Nanchuan, Nanchuan is more known as Nansen. He had a special place in the master's heart. Yet in the line of transmission, Hayakujo became the successor of Matazu. Nanchuan or Nansen, Jisang and Huihai, otherwise known as Hayakujo. One evening, as the three disciples were attending on their master, enjoying the moon together, he asked them what they thought would be the best way of spending such a night. Jisang was the first to answer. He said, a good time to make offerings, a good time to feel grateful to existence. Huihai said, a good time to cultivate one's spiritual life. Nanchuan made no answer, but shook his sleeves and went away. Matazu turned to Jisang and said, the sutras will join the sang. He was making a pun on the Jisang's name Sang, which in Chinese means basket, as in carrying the word of the Buddha. Buddha's sutras are divided in three baskets. Matazu said to Sang, just making a pun on his name, that you will be one of the enlightened ones who will carry the Buddha's sutras. You will be a basket to carry the Buddha's sutras. You will be a great scholar. And that's how it came to be true. A master's insight, his clarity, is always 24 hours the same. He could see to this man, although he is making just a pun on his name, but he is using even that opportunity to indicate to him that you will be a great scholar. He turned to Huihai and said, Dhyana will return to the sea. Matazu was making a second pun, since in Chinese Hai means sea. Huihai had said, that this is a good time for cultivating spirituality. And the way to cultivate spirituality is dhyana, meditation. His Chinese name Hai means sea. And every meditation is to bring your small river of life to the great ocean of existence, to the sea. He said to Hui Hai that you will reach the sea, and Hui Hai became a great enlightened master. Then Ma Tazu concluded, Nan Chuan alone stands, transcends the realm of all things all by himself. Hayakujo has not answered, and on the contrary, he simply left the place. His gesture is showing that talking about scriptures is not the right way. Talking about cultivating spirituality is absolutely absurd. You cannot cultivate it. It is already there. Hence, he did not answer. And rather than answering, he shook his sleeves and went away. This was his answer. You have to understand in Zen that even a gesture is an answer. Wordless, but he is answering. He is saying, keep your scriptures and keep cultivating your spirituality. I am leaving. This is not my place. I am already a Buddha. I have nothing to do. Cultivating spirituality or becoming a great scholar, these are not for me. These are for ordinary human beings. It is said in the contemporary histories of Zen that Nan Chuan, known as Nan Sen, had a special place in the master's heart. He was a very beautiful man. With great understanding, he has gone deeper into meditation and finally became an enlightened master. And everybody was thinking that Nan Sen will be chosen as a successor. But rather than Nan Sen, Ma Tazu chose, in the line of transmission, Hayakujo, became the successor of Mataji. It shows something very special, that it does not matter who is closer to your heart. What matters is who is closer to truth. He loved Nansen, and everybody thought that he will be chosen. But finally he chose before his death Hayakujo, because he was the man who was closest to the truth. He may not be close to his heart. It does not matter. It is not a personal transmission. It is an universal phenomenon. Whoever is closer to the ultimate truth should be transmitted the lamp of enlightenment. On another occasion, a monk asked Mataji, "What is the Buddha?" Mataji answered, "Mind is the Buddha." Listen very carefully, because these are his very great statements. Mataji answered, "Mind is the Buddha." The monk then asked, "What is the way?" "No mind is the way." Now he is being his strange self. First he says, "Mind is the Buddha." And when asked what is the way, he says, "No mind is the way." He is cancelling mind and making no mind the way. Mind becomes no mind if it is empty. No mind is not some other entity. No mind is the same entity, the mind. The difference is whether the mind is full of thoughts or empty of thoughts. If empty, it is no mind. If full of thoughts, it is mind. So he did well in answering slowly, because a sudden answer may not be understood. He said, "Mind is the Buddha." It feels consolating. You have the mind, so Buddha is not far away. The monk then asked, "What is the way?" And then he plays his trick. He says, "No mind is the way. You will have to empty the mind of all its content." Answered Mataji, the monk then asked, "Are the Buddha and the way somewhat different?" Mataji replied, "The Buddha is like stretching out the hand. The way is like clenching the fist. There is no real difference. My hand open or my hand as a fist, is the same thing. Just different formations of the same thing. It is a very beautiful statement that the Buddha and the way are almost the same. As you travel the path, you become inch by inch every day a Buddha. It is just like a sculpture. If you are making a statue of Gautam Buddha, you cannot make it completely in one stroke. You will have to take out chunk by chunk pieces that are not necessary. Cut the marble in the shape of Gautam Buddha. Exactly, that's what you are doing with yourself. In meditation, every day you are dropping something and gaining something deeper into your being. You are dropping some chunk of the marble and making clear at least a part of the Buddha. Slowly, slowly arises the whole Buddha in its totality. In that moment, you disappear. In that moment, only Buddha remains in you. You are the Buddha. The path, the traveler and the goal are only different stages of the same phenomenon. A poem by Ikkyu, what a naughty fellow he was, the man who was called Sakya. Sakya is Gautam Buddha's family name. Ikkyu is calling him, what a naughty fellow he was, the man who was called Sakya. By him many people are driven to puzzling. That is true. For 25 centuries continuously, Gautam Buddha has been harassing people. I am harassing you. Every night, whether you want to be a Buddha or not, I am intent that you have to become a Buddha. Ikku's saying is out of love. It is not derogatory. He is simply saying, what a naughty fellow. For 25 centuries after him, still people are puzzling how to become Buddha. It will remain as long as man exists on the earth. This is going to remain a puzzling matter. Because nobody else in the whole sky of consciousness seems to have puzzled humanity as much as Gautam Buddha. Because he insisted for originality, he insisted for your authentic being, he wanted your total freedom. No man has loved humanity so much. No man has given more dignity to man as Gautam Buddha. He does not want you to become a follower, he wants you to become a Buddha. All great religious teachers compared to Gautam Buddha fall very short. They want you to become followers. They want you to practice a certain discipline. They want you to manage your affairs, your morality, your lifestyle. They make a mold of you and they give you a beautiful prison cell. Buddha stands alone, totally for freedom, because without freedom, man cannot know his ultimate mystery. Chained, he cannot move his wings into the sky and cannot go in the beyond. And every religion is chaining people. Keeping some hold on them. Not allowing them to be their original beings, but giving them personalities and masks. This they call religious education. Buddha does not give you any religious education. He wants you simply to be yourself. Whatever it is, that is your religion, to be yourself. No man has loved freedom so much. No man has loved mankind so much. He will not accept followers for the simple reason that to accept a follower is to destroy his dignity. He accepted only fellow travelers. His last statement before dying was, "If I ever come back, I will come as your friend." Maitreya means the friend. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, who of us here would not like to enjoy a special intimacy with our master, to have a special place in his heart? What is it to be truly intimate with you?" Manisha, my heart is empty. And you can be intimate to me the more emptier you become. You will be intimate to me in becoming an empty heart. then you will be falling in the same tune, in the same dance, in the same music. And this intimacy is not the old intimacy we talked about. It is an intimacy totally different, qualitatively different. I may not know even your name. You may have never met me personally, but still you can be intimate to me. Because I am giving intimacy a totally new dimension. If your heart is empty, suddenly you will be in tune with me. And this intimacy will not create any jealousy. All those old intimacies were creating jealousies even in the master's assemblies. If 3 persons were intimate, do you think others were not offended? Do you think others were not jealous? Everybody wants to be specially intimate. That was not possible in the older way. But my definition of intimacy is such that the whole universe can be intimate to me without creating any jealousy in anybody. You can be intimate because the question is not dependent on me. The question is dependent on you. You empty your heart. And in that emptying of the heart, you will become my intimate. You may be on another planet, that does not matter. And in this dimension of intimacy, there is no limitation. Everybody can be especially intimate to me. Now it is time for something serious. Sardar, you are getting old. But you will not leave your ancient habit. It is Ronald Reagan's birthday, and Nancy wants to make him his favorite spaghetti sauce for dinner. So she goes to Giovanni. And asked for some tomatoes. Sorry, says Giovanni, we have no tomatoes. But you must have tomatoes, insists Nancy. It is Ronnie's birthday, and I want to make his favorite spaghetti sauce. Sorry, repeats Giovanni. We have no tomatoes, but that is ridiculous, whines Nancy. Can't you call your wife Maria? Maybe she has some tomatoes. Look, insists Giovanni, we have no tomatoes. But Nancy keeps on whining. Okay, shouts Giovanni, tell me something. What do you get when you take the pine out of pineapple? Apple, replies Nancy. Right, says Giovanni. And what do you get when you take the gur out of the grape? Ape, says Nancy. Good, says Giovanni. And what do you get when you take the fuck out of tomatoes? Nancy pauses and then says, but there is no fuck in tomatoes. Giovanni screams, that's what I have been trying to tell you. Paddy has been drinking a few whiskies and needs to go to the bathroom. He gets up from the bar and staggers across the floor, past gorgeous Gloria, who is sitting at one of the tables in her new maxi mini skirt, distracted by her long, lean, bare legs. The drunken Paddy trips over her chair, stumbles and falls to the floor. Gloria jumps up and stands over him, trying to help him to get up. Paddy cannot help taking a look under her skirt. Mr. Murphy, exclaims Gloria, crossing her legs, I thought you were a gentleman. It is okay, Gloria, murmurs Paddy, I thought you were a blonde. Little Ernie comes back from the movies. What did you see? Asked his mom. Linda Lovelace deep throat, replies Ernie. Casually, it was quite good. My God, cries Ernie's mother. You saw deep throat? But that is an X-rated movie. Well, so what? Says Ernie. They are all the same, except in the G-rated movie, the good guy gets the girl. In the R-rated movie, the bad guy gets the girl. And in the X-rated movie, everybody gets the girl. Moise Finkelstein goes into the Ritzy Glitz restaurant and treats himself to a large meal with lots of champagne, finishing up with a Havana cigar. Finally, the waiter brings the bill on a silver tray. It comes to $99.99. So Moise pays him with a $100 bill. About 5 minutes later, he calls the waiter back and asks for his change. Without altering his expression, the waiter leaves and returns a moment later with his silver tray. On it is a penny and a packet of condoms. Moise is shocked and demands an explanation. The waiter lifts his nose in the air and says, "Sir, it is the policy of our restaurant to encourage customers like you not to reproduce." Be silent. Close your eyes. Feel the body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with total urgency, as if there is not going to be another moment. Only such urgency, as if this is the last moment of your life, can penetrate your vision to your life sources, to your eternity, to your Buddha. Deeper and deeper, because you are not going to be a loser, you are going to gain your last kingdom. You have been living outside in a dream, inside you, at the deepest center, is just a watcher, unclouded, unattached, unidentified. The mirror of your very being, which simply reflects. This mirror has been called the Buddha. And you all have it. It is nothing personal, it is universal. To make it more clear, Nivedano, relax. Just let your body be there and your mind, but remember you are only a watcher. You are neither the body nor the mind, but only a mirror. Reflecting without any judgment, a pure reflection of the moon in the lake. This is your ultimate reality. This is your very being. It is beyond words, but not beyond experience. It is your very sky without any limitations. This fortunate evening, 10,000 Buddhas have disappeared into an oceanic awareness, just pure consciousness. The Buddha auditorium has become just a lake of reflecting consciousnesses. Rejoice in it. Let it go deep into every fiber of your being, so that slowly, slowly, your every action is filled with your self nature. That 24 hours you are a Buddha, the day you don't need to meditate is the greatest day of your life. A Buddha does not meditate. He is meditation. Gather the experience . Remember the way. No mind is the way. And remember the blessings, the ecstasy, that is now in this moment showering on you, all these flowers, all these roses, bring their perfume at least with you. Nivedana, come back, but come back as a Buddha, carrying the Buddha gracefully. Sit down just like the Buddha. This moment you have made this place holy. This evening, immortal. This moment, your very eternity. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, the truth, the good, and the beautiful. This is your original face. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the gathering of 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes, Bhagwan.